Just want to say a big thank you. Carrie and I are indeed humbled and honored to be able to be with you at this camp and the privilege of ministering the word. Just want to thank your pastor for the invitation for us to come, and we have thoroughly enjoyed ourselves thus far. Praise the Lord. Let me ask you a question before I begin, as it's related to my message. When you travel, which season do you prefer to travel normally? I heard autumn, I heard spring, winter, the Lord bless you. Who prefers to travel during autumn? Okay, many of you. Spring. More prefer to travel during springtime. And tonight the topic is, the title is, The God of Spring. The God of Spring. Let us pray. Father, indeed, you are the God of spring, a God who makes all things beautiful in your time, O God. And Father, tonight, as we look into your word once again, our hearts are open. Speak to us, O God. Lord, drop the Rhema word into our hearts, O God. We commit this time to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The God of spring. As you know, spring is the wonderful time of the year. In fact, it has been called the king of seasons. And that is spring. And spring is all about new beginnings and transformations. A season that symbolizes fresh start and starting over. That is spring. As you can know, during spring, you know, the snow is melting. The temperature is rising. The world just takes on a new, fresh look altogether. The trees begin to put on leaves. The grass starts to turn green, and most of all, the flowers begin to bloom. What a season! That's why farmers are smiling again, the animals are roaming around again, the birds are flying again, and golfers coming out of hibernation. Springtime, a wonderful season. And that's why there are a few words that, you know, describe spring. Some adjectives. Words like blooming, blossoming, bouncing, changing, emerging, growing. All these words are meant to describe spring, the wonderful time and season of the year, because it speaks of newness and freshness. Therefore, tonight I want you to know that God is the God of spring, a God who makes all things beautiful in His time. Amen. The God of spring. And tonight I want to give you three pictures of the God of spring. The God that we worship, the God that we serve. The God of spring, three pictures. First of all, God the pursuer. God the pursuer. In Hosea chapter 6, verse 3, the Bible says, "Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let's press on to acknowledge Him. As surely as the sun rises, He will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth." The spring rains that water the earth. Here the Bible says, let us acknowledge the Lord, the God that we worship. Two words here. Initiative and intimacy. Initiative and intimacy. In that, first of all, initiative. God is the one that always takes the initiative to pursue after us, to chase after us, to search us, because He's a God who longs and to have a fellowship with you and with me. That's why He pursues after you and me. You remember in the Garden of Eden when Adam sinned against God, what did God do? God pursued after Adam, and God asked, Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? Because Adam was hiding somewhere. He knew he has done something wrong. But God pursued after him and said, and God says, Adam, where are you? I'm here for you. No matter what you have done, I'm here to pursue after you because I want to enter into a relationship with you. God, the pursuer. And the word intimacy, because God wants to enter into a close, intimate relationship with us. That's why you and I, we must always remember, Christianity is a relationship, it is not a religion. And God takes the initiative, you know, to reach down to us because He wants to have an intimate relationship with us. That's why this evening I want to ask you, after this camp, what do you intend to do to pursue after God? And what are your plans to enter into a deeper, more intimate relationship with God? It is so important, whatever you have received and how the Lord has ministered to you, how He has touched you, it must not stop here. You must move on. Move on in that journey to enter into a deeper dimension in your walk with God, and you seek to, you know, experience Him even more in your life. That's why our response, first of all, to acknowledge Him, and second, to adore Him. That we must acknowledge that He is the God of our lives, the God of our families, the God of my work, the God of my business. You acknowledge the God that you worship, that He's a sovereign God over your life and your situation. You acknowledge that He is the great and mighty God. And then you seek to adore Him. To love Him, you know, to love Him more. And as I mentioned, enter into a deeper, a more intimate relationship with God. Don't be ever come to a point where you are satisfied with your spiritual walk. Don't ever. But always have that, you know, longing for more of God, more of His touch, more of His love, more of His presence in your life. That's why God, the pursuer, will also want us to pursue after Him. And tonight I want to challenge you as you go back, you know, to your home, that you will be more intentional, that you say, I want to be a God chaser. That you begin to chase after God. And as you begin to chase after God, that's where you experience God in a greater measure, in a greater dimension. That's what the Apostle Paul said, I've not arrived yet. Yes, I've experienced God so much, but I've not arrived yet because I want to know Him more. The word is more. And I pray that you and I will have that deep desire in us and say, Lord, more of you in my life. And I pray that after this camp, that you in your own personal way, in your own personal walk with God, that you will seek for more of God in your life. Tell your neighbor more. Right. More of his touch. More of his anointing. More of his presence. More of him in our lives. God the pursuer. The second picture. God the provider. God the provider. In Deuteronomy chapter 11 verse 14, here the Bible says, "Then I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rains, so that you may gather in your grain, new wine, and olive oil. I will provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied." Wow, what a powerful and a promise from the Lord that He will provide. You will gather your grain, your new wine, olive oil. I will provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. He is our Jehovah Jireh. Amen. You look into the Bible, God has always been a great and a wonderful provider. You in your own life thus far, you've experienced, you know, the Jehovah Jireh that He has provided for you. And you know our God, He will provide for us in ways beyond our understanding, beyond our expectation, because He provides in amazing, in a miraculous ways. And He is our God. The God who provides, because He's the God that all things are possible. So He is your provider. He is your Jehovah Jireh. For Caris and I, in our journey thus far, from the very beginning, we experience the amazing hand of God upon our lives. His amazing provision from the very beginning. I remember when I went to study in the Bible school in Singapore, my church here, Emmanuel Assembly, they could only, you know, support me $70 a month. But the school fees then, plus food, accommodation, everything, it was $100 a month. You can calculate. That means $30 short. But I went and I experienced the amazing provision of God. In the 3 years, I did not experience any lack. Somehow God just provided amazingly. That's why in those early years, I experienced my Jehovah Jireh. And throughout the ministry, I remember when we went to Singapore, Grace Assembly, gave me just one salary. Accommodation is up to us. And there was, you know, 30 over years ago. And you know, in Singapore, accommodation is pretty expensive, even for one room. And we figure out if we have to rent a room, then financially be very tight, because at that point, Caris was not working. But we said, "Lord, if there's a will for us to move to Singapore, then You open the way. You go before us." And the Lord went before us. In terms of accommodation, when we went there, a member came to us and he said, "Pastor, I have a flat, a 4-room flat in Bukit Batok. It is empty now. Come and stay for free." Wow. And we stayed there for about 7 months. And then he has to sell the flat. And we have to pray. And the Lord opens another door for us, a 5-room flat, all right, in a private, you know, estate. And the renter for the whole flat was $200. Amazing. You cannot even get a room for $200. For the whole flat, for $200. And we stayed there for about 8 months. And then the couple, you know, they got married, they needed the flat back. And then we have to pray. And then the Lord opened a 3-room flat for us. A whole flat, 3-room, and the rental was $220. Again, you can only get a tiny room. the whole flat for $220, and we stayed there for 7 years, and the rental remained $220. Wow. That means for almost 8 to 9 years, the highest rental that we pay was $220. So there was God's amazing provision. And then after 7 years, we got our PR and we were able to purchase our own flat. Just nice in terms of God's timing. Just amazing. Just, I can share with you story, testimony, one after another, how the Lord provided for us. In fact, just recently, not too long ago, you know, after I stepped down, our plan was to make a trip to the U.S. into Canada because Carrie's siblings, you know, two of them stay in Toronto, Canada, and one in New York, U.S. So our plan was to go and visit them and spend a longer time, you know, since I've stepped down. But because of COVID, it was being delayed. But then earlier, you know, we shared with some of our members that it's our plan. And there was one day, two brothers asked me out for lunch. And after lunch, you know, one brother said to me, "Pastor, last night I had a dream. And I dream about you." And this brother was also in the dream. All right? And he said, to cut a long story short, you know, in the dream, somehow the Lord just laid a burden on my heart. And because this brother was also in the dream, together we agree that we will take care of your tickets to New York. Wow. He said, we will buy you a premium economy ticket. Not economy, but premium economy. Wow. I said, "Lord, thank you so much. You are amazing." Then about 2 weeks later, another person called me and said, "Pastor, I heard about your trip to Canada, to the U.S. I want to sponsor your trip." And I told the person, "Thank you so much. But a brother already, you know, has promised to take care of our air tickets and is paying for a premium economy for us." Then he said to me, "Pastor, then it is okay. What I will do is that I will upgrade you." He said, "I will upgrade you to business class for both of us." Wow. And we slept all the way to New York. Direct flight all the way to New York. What an amazing provision. We did not expect that, but God just provided. That's why here, first is a time together, then a time to gratify. A time together. That means a time to experience God's provision. God will provide, and you will gather, and you will experience. And time to gratify means you enjoy the blessings of God. You enjoy the provision of God. That's why the scripture says, you eat and be satisfied. It is okay to enjoy. We serve a good God. And we enjoy His blessings, His goodness upon our lives. Time together, time to gratify. So what should be our response? First, be trustful. And then be thankful. Always be trustful. Always place your trust in the Lord your God. Not in your own human abilities, not in your own human resources, not in your bank account, not on people, not on organization. You learn to put your trust in the Lord your God. That's why for Chris and I, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, the two verses are very special to us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. You trust the Lord. Trust in the Lord. So put your trust in God. I know many of you at this point, you know, there is an issue, there's a situation in your life, and you have your concern. Whatever the area may be, you put your trust in the Lord because He's your amazing Jehovah Jireh. There's a time to gather, there's a time to gratify, but our response is we put our trust in Him. Because the provision will come in His time, according to His ways, and we just be trustful. And not only that, most of all, be thankful. Learn to live with a grateful heart. I'm so thankful that Brother Rodney led us in that song, Give Thanks with a Grateful Heart. It is so, so important to live life with the attitude of gratitude, the attitude of thanksgiving. You know, someone prayed this prayer, and we must all learn to pray this prayer. This person prayed. She said, Lord, You have given me so much. Give me one more thing. Give me a grateful heart. Give me a grateful heart. The fact is that the Lord has blessed us, you know, abundantly in so many ways. But sometimes we still complain. We still murmur. We still say this and say that. I think it's time for us to say, God, I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful. Help me, O God, to live life with an attitude of gratitude. I wonder if you heard about this story about a poor old woman, but very godly, always giving praises and thanksgiving to God, no matter what her situation may be, whether she's in lack or in abundance, she will always give thanks to the Lord. The problem is that her neighbor was an old man, an 80s, who will always, you know, ridicule her and challenge her faith from time to time and always say to her, there is no God. And one day, this woman came to a point where her groceries were running, you know, out. And she prayed. And she knelt down with her window open and she prayed. And said, Lord, You will always be my provider. And Lord, I look to You. And at that point, this old man, you know, happened to walk past her place. And with the window open, he could hear the prayers of this old woman. That she's asking God to provide her needs. So he heard that prayer and immediately he ran down to the nearest grocery shop, bought some rice and things and other groceries, and he brought it back to the woman's house. And he put it in front of the door and then knocked on the door and then he hid himself behind a pillar. And then the woman opens the door. She saw the grocery. Wow, she was so delighted. Immediately she raised her hand and said, God, thank You. You are the amazing God. You are my provider. She was praising the Lord. And then the old man, he jumped out. And he said to the old woman, hey, hey, hello, hello. It is not your God that provided. It is Me that provides for you, not your God. When the old woman heard that, she raised her hand. She was so delighted. She said, God, You are so amazing. You are my provider. This time, You use my enemy to provide for me. Hallelujah. Always be thanksgiving in whatever situation we are in. This post, the Bible says, you know, give thanks, you know, all the time. In every situation, we give thanks. That's why I say to you, be trustful, be thankful. Wake up every morning with a thankful heart, with a grateful heart. Whatever situation, be thankful. Because you know the God that you worship, He's the sovereign God. He's the good God. He's the amazing God. And you can put your trust in your God. That's why our faith has to be rooted in God. Not in other, you know, resources, but in our God. First, God the pursuer. Second, God the provider. And third picture of our God of spring is God the promise keeper. God the promise keeper in Joel 2 verse 23. Be glad, people of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for has given you the autumn rains, because He is faithful. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains as before, because He is faithful. God is a faithful God. And someone says, amen. He is a faithful God. We must always declare the faithfulness of our God. That's why, you know, this morning I talk about, you know, we must always look back and look at the faithfulness of our God, how He has led us thus far. God, the promise keeper. That means spring will come. Supply will come. First, spring will come. You know, God has ordained this, the cycle in the nature that no matter what, whatever climate change may be, spring will still come. Amen. After winter, spring will come. It is definite. It will come. Spring will come. And I want you to know, in your life, you got to believe that spring will come. I just sense in my heart, maybe some of you here, you are now still in the winter season. Yes, winter can be nice, but winter can also be very, very unpleasant. Especially in some places where winter can be very harsh, like Toronto. You will not want to be in Toronto at the height of the winter season, because you'll be locked out in the house. You cannot really go out. And you have to stay in the house. You can feel pretty miserable. Maybe some of you are in that, you know, season at this point. You're in that winter season. You felt that you are being locked up right now. There's no real freedom. Life is pretty unpleasant for you. Things are not working. You're feeling pretty cold in that sense. And you're not getting the breakthrough. And you are really, you know, in your own way, suffering from the harsh winter of your life's situation. If you are in that condition, in that winter season at this point, I want you to know that you got to believe that spring will come. The breakthrough will come into your life and into your situation. You just hold on to the promises of God and say, God, spring will come. And I will experience a new beginning. I will experience transformation. I will experience, you know, the freshness of your touch upon my life. You got to believe that spring will come. Don't ever allow the devil, you know, to speak to you in such a way that you begin to lose faith in your God. And you declare by faith that in my situation, in my family, in my business, you know, spring will come. And therefore supply will come. Because He is a faithful God. He is a covenant-keeping God. He keeps His promises. Therefore, spring will come and supply will come. But We have to trust in the Lord and wait for His timing and allow God, His sovereign ways, to intervene into our situations. That's why in James chapter 5, verse 7, here the Bible says, be patient. Then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming, see how the farmer waits for the land to yield his valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. Patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. As you know, the farmer has to wait for harvest to come. He has to, you know, wait, you know, the right time to plant the seeds. He has to wait for the rains to come. So there's a lot of waiting. A farmer has to be very patient. He has to plow the land, do whatever he could, and then wait, you know, for the harvest to come. He has to wait. He has to be patient. And God is saying to some of you, be patient. Wait on the Lord. Wait with a deep sense of hope in God. Not waiting in despair, but waiting with delight, knowing that spring will come and supply will come. You learn to wait upon the Lord. That He is sovereign. He works things according to His timing and according to His ways. I've learned one thing over the years, and that is God's timing. It is so, so important. And God's timing is always perfect. But sometimes we get so impatient and we outrun God, so to speak. We begin to, you know, do things in our own, take things in our own hands. And we mess things up because we are too eager. We don't have the patience to wait on the Lord. Some of you have been praying for something for a long time, and the answer has not come yet, and you are pretty discouraged. You are weary. And the word of the Lord to you tonight is, you wait patiently. You wait expectantly, knowing that the God that you serve, He's the covenant-keeping God, and you can put your trust in your God. You wait, just like the farmer, by believing spring will come, supply will come, and as I mentioned, you wait with expectation. Last night I talked about my mother-in-law. Thank God for our mother-in-laws. You know, my mother-in-law was a very difficult person. She was the head of the family. Not my father-in-law. She controls the family. She was a deep idol worshiper. In the house, many gods. The ceilings, you know, is always black because of the burning of the joss sticks. But she's also a steep gambler. And therefore, money has always been an issue from time to time. And the children, you know, have gone through challenging times with her because of her gambling habits. But nonetheless, the children love her. We love her. And we have been praying for her over the years for many, many years. And it came to a point where all the children grown up, and they all live in different countries, and no one was staying with her. She just stayed with a maid. In our own natural mind, we begin to wonder, how could she ever come to know the Lord Jesus Christ now that no one is staying with her? But as I mentioned, we've been praying for her all these years. And we stand on the promises of God's word. Then not only we are saved, but our household will also be saved. And we stand on the word of the Lord. And we kept praying for her and said, Lord, you are the covenant keeping God. You are the promise keeper. Lord, we commit, you know, in-laws, you know, Carissa's parents in your loving hands. And then the time came. The sovereign Lord, in his own way, in his own time, worked a powerful miracle that led her to receive Christ as a personal Savior. And I asked Carissa to come to share in detail the story.
Yeah, thank you, thank you. You know, it took me 20 over years for this to happen. All that time, it was winter. It was winter. If any one of you in this congregation, you are going through a winter period, let me encourage you with this. God is faithful. 20 over years, I've been praying for the salvation of my parents. And I'm the eldest. I brought 5 of my siblings to the Lord. I still remember very, very vividly. One Wednesday night, we had a prayer meeting in church. I was so discouraged. I was weary. All of us have done our part. You name any evangelistic meeting, dinner, concert, you know, Father's Day, Mother's Day, anything. We have tried. First time she went, and then she was so smart. She said, Gong Ye So, talk about Jesus, no more. She closed herself. So it was, we have done everything that we could. Like what Pastor said this morning, do what you can. What you cannot do, give it to God. So we said, God, I've done all my part. I cannot do anything already. All of us are not in Ipoh. And that prayer meeting, I said, God, are you not the God who saved me and called me to serve along with my husband? Did you not save my siblings so that we'd be shining light for our parents? Will you not fulfill your word to say that in Acts 16:31, believe and you, your household will be saved. Will you not honor your word? That was all I said. I was just like telling God as if I was telling this story, because I was really very, very discouraged. Really. 20, maybe 25 years, it has been like this. And nothing goes on. And all my parents' friends were all gamblers. In my natural mind, I'm in Singapore, my siblings all over the world. Who's going to bring them to church? All their friends are pre-believers and gamblers. Shortly after I prayed that prayer and I just said, God, I just surrender. There's nothing much I can do. As much as we love. I think it was something like 6 months down the road. Suddenly one day, my mom called me and she said this. Please pray for your father. I think he is dying. I said, what happened? He said he is very, very sick. Then I said, okay, I will pray. For the first time in my life, married to a pastor, don't know how to pray in Cantonese. I don't. And that moment, the Lord strengthened me. And I said, Mom, I took up the courage to say, Mother, I'll pray for Father. You pray with me. So I prayed in Cantonese in my broken... I mean, I can speak Cantonese, but to pray in Cantonese is very challenging. Am I right? So I just mastered whatever Cantonese I could, but I really meant every single word I said. And I just, amen. And I said, are you open? I asked my sister's church, all right? She goes to a Chinese church, my sister's, First Assembly, the pastor to come and pray for Father. He said, okay, she was desperate because her God could not help my father. Her God did not answer her prayer. I said, are you willing to open? I asked the pastor to come and pray for Father. She said, yeah, okay. She was desperate. I think God has to put her in a desperate situation. Okay. So, and I was so scared. What if my dad goes home without the Lord? I was desperate too. And the pastor came to pray for my dad. And this pastor came every day to pray for my father. And he got better. And you know, in divine appointments, in talking about season. And so happened, not so happened, it's divine appointment. My father didn't fall sick 1 week later or 1 week earlier. It was exactly that week. And the pastor said, you know, this weekend we're having a special meeting. Can you and Mr. Leong come? My mother in her heart said, no, I don't want to come. But because the pastor was so faithful, in visiting my father every day, and she saw with her own eyes my dad got well. She said, okay, I'll come. So she's just doing this out of obligation. Now, this is what she told me after. Okay, she said, this is what I plan to do. After I go to church, I will shake the pastor's hand. I'll sit at the back. And when the congregation stand up to sing, I will leave the church. And I will. She literally showed me. Wash my hands. She really showed me this. I wash my hands of the church. I've done my part. Because it was obligation. So the day came on Sunday. Oh, the pastor was so nice. Oh, Mrs. Long, welcome to church. Shook her hand and didn't let her hand go. Come, let me bring you to the front. And she was like, no, I said, no, 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 no. You're a special guest. Brought the third row. Okay, she said, then told my father, Jem. Jem. Then my father, they said, okay, never mind. Just endure. Tong. 2 hours. After that, that's it. Church, that's it. Done. So the service finished. And then at the end of the service, the guest speaker said, you, the woman in yellow, do you have a neck problem? Then yellow. She got yellow. But look around, nobody wearing yellow. And she's the only one. You come, I pray for you. Then my mom said, I didn't tell anyone that I had a neck pain. You know, when you tap my mom, she cannot turn her neck. She's got to turn her body because there's pain in her neck. And the speaker said, I pray for you. And she said, my mom told me this. The speaker said, close my eyes. I closed my eyes. When the speaker prayed for me, I felt a warm current. She's not gone to church. Huh? I felt a warm current flowing through from the top of my head to my toes. I don't know what is it. I was not scared. I felt a warm current. And then after praying, she said, the pastor said, open your eyes. Okay, open. Turn and look your husband. She turned her neck. My father's jaw dropped. So my mom turned her neck. She's like, I've never seen my wife turn her neck, you know, because my mom couldn't turn her neck. My mom was instantly healed that day. She really experienced a lot. And then the speaker said, do you want to accept Jesus Christ as a savior? She said, yes. Okay, so what happened in between, I do not know. Right that afternoon, the pastor called me. You know, your mom accepted the Lord. Wow, immediately, I cried. I really cried. I said, God, thank you. So I was so delighted. I called home. Then I said, Mom, now you're a Christian, huh? Okay, you go to church. So I thought, my dad is easier, lah. Then I said, Mom has already accepted, now your turn. No, cannot. I cannot be a Christian because I'm a committee member of 2 temples. So I said, no, you go and tell your temple. Now you want to be a Christian, you cannot be a committee member. He said, no, cannot. So this went on for 2 years. Tell you something very funny. My mom is a gambler, right? In front of 2 of us and a church member, she said, you know, I become Christian already. I pray to Jesus, you know. You know, I buy 4D. I pray to Jesus. And you know what? I strike, you know, can give testimony. I gave her the dagger look. I tell you, that's my mom. She is a gambler. And then a few months later, my sister called me. Hey, you go and talk to mom. It seems she's bringing church members to play mahjong. I like, oh. And then I call my mom. Mom, why don't you bring people to mahjong? He said, no, I didn't bring them to mahjong. I brought my mahjong friends to church. Oh, okay, sorry. Misunderstood. So the process of sanctification for my mom, I mean, there are old people, very hard to change, but she started to bring her mahjong friends. Okay, so my dad continued to bring her to church. So my mom sit in front. My dad would sit at the back. He would read newspaper. And occasionally, he would go out and smoke. Because I told my father, who say cannot smoke in church? Where in the Bible never say, you know? But it's just don't smoke inside. That's where sinners are saved. We are all sinners. So my father said, yeah. Okay, then I will go to church. It's better get away. So he knows. And he went out to smoke. And after that, he came back. So he has been listening to the word of God, but still very hardened. Then, the second spring came. It was still winter for me, for my dad. Still praying very, very hard. One day, two of us came to Ipoh. He was invited to preach in Emmanuel. And it was a combined service. So my parents, my mom go to the Chinese First Assembly. And I've always loved to eat this salt baked chicken from Ipoh. All right? And always I dabao back. And so happened that Sunday, we after the service in Emmanuel, we have to rush off to KL. So the shop only opens at 9:30. But the service is at 9 o'clock. So I just casually mentioned to my father, I don't get to get my salt baked chicken again. I say next time I have to come back to make a trip. So I just casually mentioned. And after that, we went to church. And my husband seldom changed sermon. He always prepare PowerPoints and send way ahead. But that day, on that Sunday, he said, go and tell the media, no PowerPoint today, I'm changing sermon. I'm like, very unusual. Okay, so he changed the sermon. And his sermon was about talking about life, the meaning of life. It was very evangelistic. So I always sit in the front. And then gave an altar call for salvation. At the corner of my eye, I saw a shadow, a man walking like my father. I look. I said, it's my father. You know what was my first response? I tell you, I really, God have to help my unbelief. I sprang up to my feet and I said, Father, Father, why are you coming? Not pray for healing, you know? That was my response. Not pray for healing. To come to accept Jesus Christ, must baptize. Because the Chinese, you must tell them baptize. Because it's like when you get baptized, it's like double confirm. You know, that kind. I mean, I don't insist that baptism gets you to heaven, but for Chinese, those who are still in Chinese belief, you have to tell them that you need to be baptized. So I said, yeah, I want to believe in Jesus and I want to be baptized. I was so stunned. And then there was an interpreter, said the sinner's prayer. I opened my eyes. I didn't even close my eyes. I saw my father repeating, saying after the sinner's prayer. My tears was just like a tap. I couldn't control. Just flowed down and flowed down. And so I saw him say the sinner's prayer. I said, God, truly spring has come. Spring has come. The winter was worth waiting. Those of you who have been praying for your loved ones, your son, your daughter, your wife, your spouse, your grandma, your children, your nephew, nieces, spring will come. Spring will come. And then after that, I said, but Dad, why are you here? Nah, you're salt baked chicken. I tell you, because of the salt baked chicken, my father came. The story is not that just my parents came to know the Lord. You know, during my wedding, I wasn't even sure whether my father would walk me down the aisle. They like him, but just that he doesn't, they don't like his occupation. They like him, but just poor preacher, ma. Right? Never in my wildest imagination that my mom would come to know the Lord through. I became a conduit, and my father came to know the Lord through my own husband. I would think, oh, I bring my mom and my parents to evangelistic meeting, got friends who bring them, you know, other people, but not my spouse. And I thought, what an encouragement, what a joy, what a privilege, what an honor. Son-in-law to bring the father-in-law to the church. And after that, you know what my mother did? I heard my mother went to a temple. I said, Mother, why did you go to temple? Then she said, oh, you know, being a Christian, you must be very responsible. But I said, what has God to go do with going back to the temple? No, I went to a temple with your father. We have to be very responsible. We went to see the, maybe goddess or something, I don't know, it's a temple. She said, I tell the God, sorry, I'm not coming anymore. That's all. It's not toikin. That means not see you again. It's really bye-bye. I'm not coming. They said, I'm like, oh, okay. I don't know. You know, old people, they think like that, but we don't think like that. So I said, then she said, yeah, I'm telling you, I'm not coming to worship them. I am going to church to worship my God already. So I tell you, God is good all the time. And those who are discouraged, those of you in winter, don't be discouraged. Press on. Spring is coming. Supply will come. Let your heart be encouraged. I prayed for 20 over years, but God taught me a lesson to be patient. It honors His word, because His word says in Acts 16:31, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you and your household will be saved. Okay, so that's why somebody say, how do you pray godly prayers of God's will? This is God's will according to the word of God. So I hope my testimony has encouraged all of you.
Well, as you can see, the Lord works in amazing ways. He's a promise keeper. That's why spring will come, supply will come. We just have to be patient. So whatever challenge you are facing right now, be patient. Continue to look to the Lord. Therefore, our response should be, number one, lean on the faithfulness of God. Lean on His faithfulness. You can count on your God that He is faithful and He will do what He has promised you. So lean on the faithfulness of God. And secondly is that learn to work while you wait. I mentioned this morning, I talk about, you know, the principle of the balance, the biblical balance. We got to do our part. So as you wait, continue to do what you need to do. Continue to pray. Continue to worship the Lord. Continue to serve. Continue to walk with the Lord. Continue to be a witness. Continue to do what you are doing while you wait. You don't just wait and do nothing. But you learn to work while you wait. So these are two important responses on our part. Lean on His faithfulness. And learn to work while we wait. Yes, waiting can be challenging. We don't like to wait. We get very impatient. But I've learned one thing. The waiting can be a very powerful time where we just learn to put our trust and lean on the Lord and just say, God, you are sovereign. I just need to surrender this situation into your loving hands. And there are different situations in life. We just have to be patient and we wait. Let me highlight three areas that we need to be patient. Number one, patient, you know, when things are uncontrollable. When your situation is uncontrollable, what do you do? You cannot fight the situation. You cannot change the situation. You just have to learn to wait and say, God, you are sovereign and you are in control over this situation that I am not in control. You learn to look to the one who is in control of your life and your situation. You don't keep on focusing on the uncontrollable situation. The more you focus on that situation, the more discouraged you will become. So patient, you know, when things are uncontrollable. And second, patient when problems are unexplainable. There are situations that take place in life we just don't have an answer. We just could not have an explanation. So often members will come to me and say, Pastor, why this and why that? And I will say to them, I have no answer. I cannot explain this situation. Because I also cannot understand. That's why not too long ago, I preached a sermon entitled, God, I just don't understand. Because there are situations we just don't understand. We cannot explain. No matter what. So what do you do when you face with such, you know, challenges, with such problems? That's where you learn to lean on the Lord. That's where you learn to trust in the Lord and say, God, you are sovereign over my life. And patient with people who are unchangeable. Do you know some of these people? Ask your neighbor, is he talking about me? Some people, somehow, they are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I won't use the word forever, lah. But tomorrow, no matter what, you cannot change them. You can get frustrated with the person, but it will not help you when you are frustrated. So you learn to hand the person to the Lord, as I mentioned this morning. Give to God what we cannot do. Give to God what we cannot change. You keep on trying to change, as I mentioned, the more depressed you become. So all these three situations, we just learn to exercise patience. That's why Isaiah 40:31, day they wait upon the Lord. Because as you wait, you put your hope in God. It is a waiting with a great sense of expectation. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They mean as you wait, that's where you put your hope in God. As you put your hope in God, that's where you become more hopeful. And then your faith is being strengthened in the presence of God Almighty. That's why you learn to take, you know, your challenges into the presence of the Lord. And you wait on your God, the promise keeper. And just believing that spring will come. Supply will come. And you just press on and press in into the presence of God Almighty. So be patient. That is so, so needful and so, so important. That's why the problem with some of us is that we run ahead of God. We begin to do things, you know, according to our ways. We try to solve that problem with our own human wisdom. But as I mentioned, there are situations we are not in control. There are problems we cannot explain away. There are people we cannot change. And we just learn to come before God with a hopeful heart, knowing that He is the covenant-keeping God. And we just learn to surrender and say, God, You are the God of spring. You are the pursuer. You are the provider. You are the promise keeper. And just believing the spring time will come in His way and in His time. Maybe many of you here tonight, you're waiting for the spring season to come. And I want you to know you wait. And as you wait, with expectation, with hope, and believing that spring will come and you experience a new breakthrough. As I mentioned earlier, spring is all about new beginnings and transformation. That you experience a new chapter in your life, a new beginning, a new song for you to sing. It's a season that represents, you know, fresh start. Some of you are going to experience a fresh start in your life, in your relationship, in your situation, in your work, in your business. A new start, a new beginning. And you're going to believe God for that new start. You see, you cannot, you know, go back and change what has happened, but you can believe God, that God can work in your life and give you a brand new start altogether. That the spring is all about. And I pray like springtime, you begin to experience the freshness of your God. And God will begin to come and bring colors into your life. The flowers in your life will begin to bloom. and the grass will begin to turn green, and the trees will begin to put on leaves. I pray that you will experience that powerful change, that powerful transformation. As I mentioned at the beginning, spring is about blooming, blossoming. And I pray that in your life, you know, you experience the new blooming of hand of God upon your life. Your life will blossom somehow. The spring will come and you experience the freshness of your God in your life. And someone says, amen. Let us pray.